You're bigger than the problem. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You are bigger. You are bigger. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. We exalt your name on today. We thank you for this, what is called Resurrection Sunday. We thank you for this day, Lord God. We bless your high and holy name. Hallelujah. We give you all the glory, Lord God. Hallelujah. He must increase. We must decrease. Hallelujah. Because he is bigger. So, Lord, we humble ourselves even now to receive your word, Father. We humble ourselves to receive from you. Hallelujah. Jesus, we ask you to have your way. We commit this broadcast into your hands. We commit the airwaves into your hand. And, Lord, we just ask that you have your way. Speak, Holy One. We bind everything that is contrary to the spirit of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And we loose the Holy Ghost to have this free course on today. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for this Passover, this time of Passover, this time of unleavened bread, this time of resurrection, Lord God. We don't come to you in any religious fashion, but we thank you that we serve the living God. And because you are risen, we know you are living and you live within the hearts of your people. Father God, we ask that you would fill our hearts with more of your love, more of your truth, more of your understanding on today, Lord God. And we get out of the way that you may be glorified. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ. Well, welcome, family, once again to the Exalting Jesus broadcast. I am your host, Minister Sir Ryan Davis. And today, I'm not going to prolong. I'm going to open the line for my brother who has a word on today. My brother, actual in the natural and in the spirit, my brother Larigus Davis. Are you on the line, bro?
Yes, sir.
All right. I'm giving you the right away to do what, let the Lord use you. Do say what he gives you to say. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. Well, praise Jesus once again, brothers and sisters. And we know that Jesus is Lord and he's worthy to be praised. I want to start off as usual by going into prayer. Father God, we come to you, Lord God. I come to you with a grateful heart, Lord God. First of all, Lord God, for the simple fact, Lord, that you kept me yet one more day, Lord God. You caused the sun to shine up on my face, Lord God. And Lord, not only did you keep me, but you kept my family, Lord God. You kept us safe through the night as we slept, Lord God. And you put breath in our lungs and allowed us to move on this day, Lord God, the day that you have made, Lord God. So even now, Father God, let us rejoice and be glad in it, Father. Father, if there is anything that any of us have, Lord God, any odd, any ill will, Lord God, or any wrongful thoughts, Lord God, any iniquity, Lord God, even now, Father God, we ask that you forgive us and have mercy upon each of us, Lord God. If there's any disobedient ways, Lord God, or any way we've indoctrinated anything, Lord God, that is not of you, Lord God, we ask that you wash and renew us through the blood of the Lamb, Lord God. Hallelujah. Starting and ending with me, Lord God. Father, as we go forth into this word, Lord God, I ask now, Lord God, that even now you take hold of me, Lord God, and use me as you see fit, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God. I pray for the hearers on the other line, Lord God, hallelujah, God, that they will hear you and only you, Lord God, that it will bring forth that fruit that is pleasing to you, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God. And we bless your mighty name this day, Father, for you are worthy. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen. Well, once again, it doesn't start off any different than any other time that it starts off, for the simple fact that my brother, Sarian, started off by introducing me as his brother. And for me, that's exactly where this word started off with, as brothers and sisters, as family. You know, I heard me every time they open the lines up on Exalting Jesus, and I think some of the other shows or that's on the airline, they start off and say family. And I guess before I go any further, I wonder, a few years ago, I came on this line, you know, when I first started listening, I shared something with some of the listeners that may have been on back then. And it was something that I had heard at that time. And I heard the word spoken to me that says, I want you to learn to see with your ears. And when I heard that, it was new to me. It was something I had never heard before. And I didn't know if it was from the Lord or what. I was like, what? You know, I thought it was just something that I was thinking myself or something that I was saying to myself, because it didn't make sense to me. Like, here, you want me to see with my ears? And for me at that time, I go forth and say that from that moment on, I became blinded. And I mean, as far as in my walk in faith, because I didn't understand it. And I kept asking the Lord, what does this mean? Is this even you telling me this? What does this mean for me to see with my ears? And at this very, at this exact same time, every day I would come out and go to work, and there would be this rabbit that would sit in the same place in my yard. And I would see this rabbit, you know, and I'd pull off, go to work, come back home from work every day, you know, same routine. And finally, one day, I was looking at the rabbit, and I noticed that the rabbit, his back was facing me, like the back of his head was facing me. I was like, what is the deal with this rabbit? It's sitting in the same place every morning. So I started to walk, you know, towards this rabbit. And the closer I got to this rabbit, I noticed that his ears, he never turned his head and looked at me at all, but his ears turned towards me. And I could see that they were poking out closer, you know, further and further the closer I got. And once I got so close, the rabbit took off. And I was like, that's so weird. And then I heard that same voice say, that's how I want you to be. He never looked at me once, but yet he saw me with his ears. So I pray for the listeners on the line today that you can hear what the Lord is saying at this time. At the same time that was given to me the book of Ezekiel, and that's why I guess I'm going to start off with the book of Ezekiel, chapter 33. It speaks about the watchmen. The watchmen were men that were placed in the towers to watch over the city of Israel. And they had a job. They had a duty to watch over their brothers and sisters. You know, if there was danger coming, they were to alert, you know, those that were within the city walls, hey, there's danger coming. You know, this was the job of the watchman. And if I can find it. Ezekiel 33. I'm just read this whole chapter. It says, again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon the land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, if, when he seeth the sword come upon the land, and he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the word of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth, and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou doest not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Therefore, thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel. Thus ye speak, saying, if our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how shall we then live? Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? Therefore, thou son of man, say unto the children of thy people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall thereby in the day that he turneth from his wickedness. Neither shall the righteous be able to live for his righteousness in the day that he sinneth. When I shall say to the righteous that he shall surely live, if he trust to his own righteousness and commit iniquity, all his righteousness shall not be remembered. But for his iniquity that he hath committed, he shall die for it. Again, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, if he turn from his sin and do that which is lawful and right, if the wicked restore the pledge, give again that he hath robbed, walk in the statutes of life without committing iniquity, he shall surely live, and he shall not die. None of his sins that he hath committed shall be mentioned unto him. He had done that which is lawful and right. He shall surely live. Anyway, this was given to me at the same time that I was hearing that I was to see with my ears. And I didn't understand what God was trying to tell me. And it wasn't until God was starting to shape me and mold me and fashion me and teach me to listen with my ears that I gained the understanding. I had my brother, Sarayan, Minister Sarayan, who had, when I first got saved, he told me something that I always, it was actually, he told me this before I even got saved. He said, brother, and I held this truth real tight to me, didn't know why at this time, but he said, when God puts someone on your heart, be obedient, but the main thing you must do is pray. And I had to learn this both the hard way and the easy way. There have been times where God had put someone on my heart and I didn't understand why. And there was times that these someones were not what I looked upon as being my brother or my sister. And I mean, as far as in the faith, I looked at them as being a heathen or God, there's no way you want me to go pray for this individual. There's no way you want me to go minister to this individual. You know, I've seen these people curse God to their face. And I've seen where God has opened the door where I had to go and talk to these individuals and watch God move in their life for whatever reason. But there was times that God had also spoke to me about some that I thought was supposed to be my, you know, my brothers and sisters, didn't know for sure. And yet I ignored the voice of God and seen them same people lose their life. And I can't tell you how much it hurt me to watch someone, you know, not knowing, okay, what happened next, individual? What happened next to this brother? What happened next to this sister? Or could it been, if I had been obedient, could that change the outcome of whatever could have happened? You know, it could have been, what if that was, I was the only Jesus, you know, the last chance for them to see Jesus? And with that being said, I know today is considered to be Easter or Resurrection Sunday, and today at our service, we had invited a lot of people who normally don't go to church. And that's been my heart ever since I've gotten saved, you know, is to go out and to find the ones who aren't in the churches, find the ones who don't claim to know Jesus, to find them and at least introduce them to Jesus as best as I know how. And the reason why I say that, the reason why so, is because I remember when I was growing up and I heard the Easter story, you know, I heard about Jesus. And for me, it was just a story, just as exactly what it was. You know, growing up, I remember when I was in prison, or, you know, I was the dude that was telling other guys that don't believe this Jesus stuff. I've seen it and I know it's not what these people portray it to be. It's just a story. It's not real. But it wasn't until I got to a place where I had to open up the word of God for myself and God revealing Jesus to me right there in my face, meaning it wasn't just a story no more. Because the way I always looked at it is when the preacher stood up there and he talked about them mocking Jesus, you know, they were standing there and they were laughing at Jesus. Or when he was talking about they took and they nailed him in his hands, or they nailed him in his feet, or when they put a crown of thorns upon his head, or when they took and pierced him in his side, that's how I always envisioned it. I always seen it as they, you know, I seen them. I always thought back and tried to see it from a standpoint of them, you know, the Israelites, the Jews, or when he talked about how Jesus took him, the man, and who was blind, and he gave him sight, or how Jesus took the man who was once lame, and he allowed and to walk again, or how Jesus took the dead and made them rise again, or the sick and healed them, how Jesus took, you know, the hungry and he fed them. I always seen it as they and as them, but it wasn't until I got into the Word of God for myself and I started to read it, and God started showing me where I was once that blind man that God says, I want to give you sight, where I was once that lame man, and I want you to walk, and now I was once that hungry, and God said, I fed you, or where I once was dead, and God said, now I'm giving you life, or even more so than that, he started showing me where I was the one that was standing out there, and I was mocking and laughing at Jesus, or I was the one who placed the crown of thorns upon his head, or I was the one that ripped his clothes off of him, or I was the one that beat him, oh my God, today, and I was the one that nailed his hands and his feet, and God was showing me that it wasn't just them, but it was also me, and it was real, that this really, really happened. Larigas, you still sometimes you ridicule Jesus, you still sometimes you laugh and you mock him, you still sometimes you spit in his face when you disobey him. When I see my brother and my sister and they're in need, and I turn my back upon them. And I couldn't understand this until, like I said, I started to hear the voice of God when he was crying out and saying, Larigas, this should not be no longer. This ought not be. This is not what I called my church for. This is not what I called you into the body of Christ for. And now I'm at a place where I have to sit here and I have to hear the voice of God. I promise you, I don't like to talk before people. I don't like to share where God keeps, you know, pressing up on my heart and telling me, oh, you're going to have to because their blood is required at your hands.
And I have to be obedient because, like I said, I've seen it when I'm disobedient. I've seen it when I've been obedient. So even the fact where I have to come up and say, listen, God is not pleased with us, brothers and sisters. God is not pleased with the way we are carrying ourselves and calling it in the name of Christ. When we're walking in the body of Christ, but yet we're turning our ears away from the cries and the pleas of our brothers and sisters, not just those that are in the church, but those that are outside the church. For the ones that we turn our back up on and say, oh, he's a drunkard, or he's a drug addict, or whatever, or he's a homosexual, or whatever we see. I have a pastor here who says that it's easy for us to condemn those whose sins are different than ours. And it makes so much sense for the way he says it, you know, when you really think about it. So if he sins differently than what I sin, then guess what? It's easy for me to shun them and turn my back on them. But there's something about the Word of God and handling the Word of God. And if we go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and this is a very known scripture, I believe we all know it, verse 16, and it reads, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And I want to, before I go any further, I want to deal with that word, perfect. Because it's something that I have learned that is really, really almost controversial, and even in the body of Christ, where so many are preaching and teaching and even believing that it's impossible for us as believers to become perfect. And I want us to remember back when Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. He asked Jesus a question. He said, how can I inherit eternal life? And Jesus told him something. He said, thou must be born again. Be born again to be made new. He that is seated on the throne says, all things have passed away, but behold, I make all things new. One scripture that I think a lot put out here is, hey, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the reason why I want to hit on this, because this is something that the Lord has also really just placed deep within me, and says that if God tells us to be ye perfect, for I am perfect, be ye holy, for I am holy, how can we say that it is impossible to be imperfect? How can we say that it's not possible? That is us contradicting the Word of God. That is us saying that God is a liar, because God is telling us that all things with God is possible. With man is impossible. We know this. But with God, all things, even being made perfect. So one thing, and I know Minister Sarayan has been touching on this a lot, is the renewing of the mind. And the reason why I want to share this is because to tell my brothers and sisters that, listen, if we don't have the mindset of saying that it's possible, if we continuously believe that it's impossible to be imperfect, then guess what? There's no way we're going to be perfect. Which says one other thing, that if the Lord Jesus is coming back looking for a church that is without spot, blemish, or wrinkle, how can we claim that we're claiming that it's impossible to be that church? And that is not so, and that ought not be so. God is really been talking to me and dealing with me of the backbiting, okay, the gossiping, the sowing of discord amongst the brethren, because the reason why we've indoctrinated so much of the world into our church, we've allowed so much of the world into our church that guess what, we can't come to this place where we are called into power, okay, as a whole, as a unit, on one accord. And if we continuously send out words of discouragement where we can continuously talk about one another, where we can continuously turn our back on one another, where we can continuously turn our nose up at one another. Oh, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Or, oh, he listened to him or look at her. Or you know, the things that the world has that the world does, and we continue, then Satan wins because we never come to that place where God says, listen, I am trying to reveal some things to you, my children, as brothers and sisters. I heard a message from an older brother that he shared. He said, listen, that one thing about here on this earth, that a man or children don't call themselves brothers and sisters until they recognize that they have the same father. He said that, you know, you can have a son and a daughter that have the same mama but different daddy, to call each other stepbrothers and stepsisters. But if they have different mamas but the same daddy, then they call each other brothers and sisters. And he says, now, if Jesus says, our Father which art in heaven, that means that Jesus saying that God is his father, God is my father, and God is your father. And if we're claiming that we have the same father, then that makes us brothers and sisters, which means we are family. And as family, we have an obligation to one another to constantly encourage, uplift, you know, as the word says, the word of God says for us, that the word, that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction. And the word that was given to me today was edify. Edify means to instruct or improve someone morally or intellectually, to educate, instruct, teach, school, tutor, train, guide, enlighten, inform, cultivate, develop, and improve or make better. So if we are handling the word of God, which is Jesus, if we give this word and God is showing, like what God is showing me, that Larika's or brothers and sisters, that this didn't just happen to them. This is also happening now. There are still some who crucify Jesus yet all over again. Now, we are handling this word of truth. Then we have an obligation to handle it in the way, in a manner that is pleasing unto the Lord, to handle it correctly. And the word of God, it says it's profitable. You know what I mean? That it edifies, that it encourages. We shouldn't be taking this word and using it as a discouragement. We shouldn't be taking what is given to us to discourage, but yet to encourage one another. Because what happens with when I uplift you and encourages you, what that does, that strengthens you. And if we're hand in hand together, fitly joined together, which we ought to be as the body of Christ, you know what I mean? We all have a place in the body of Christ. Some are, what is, I will go into that. How about that? 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Chapter 12, excuse me, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I want to start at verse 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that you are Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another, faith by the same Spirit, to another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits, to another, diverse kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of spirits. But all these worketh that one and the self-same Spirit, divided to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are there many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which have think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our comely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempted the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schisms in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all members rejoice with it. Now, ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, help, government, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. So in other words, we have an obligation to encourage, edify, and uplift one another. And what I'm seeing from or even hearing from the Lord is that we are not doing so as a whole. We are not. And God is not pleased with us. And I'm urging you, brothers and sisters, you know, as a brother in Christ, that we got to get to this place where we do, we are, you know what I mean, where we are encouraging one another, where we are lifting one another up. But as I was sharing today in church, that I tried my hardest, and not just in church, but just every day in my everyday life, to take this more than a story, this life of this Jesus, and to share with my brothers and sisters that I meet on a daily basis, no matter where they at in life, man, even if it's to give a kind word, even if it's to, you know what I mean, share some love, even if it's to say nothing at all but a silent prayer from my heart, but to always just show the love of Jesus Christ to them and say, man, this is the same Jesus that I once ridiculed. This was the same Jesus that I once, you know, nailed on the cross. This is the same Jesus that you are now crucifying. This is, and right now it even makes me remember of Paul, that Paul was going around. If you remember, they said that Paul was going around persecuting the church, the people of God. But Jesus said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? You know, he said, why are you persecuting me? He said, who art thou? He said, I'm Jesus, the one you persecuted. So it didn't say that he was persecuting Jesus per se right there, but yet he was persecuting those, you know, of Jesus. So with that being said, that we're in that same place, that when we persecute the people of God, you know what I mean, we're persecuting God or Jesus himself. And reason why this is so profound, because Jesus said, listen, there's going to be a division. What we know as the goats and the sheep, or the wheat and the tares. And yet again, I tell you again, I don't want to be found as a goat. I don't want to be found as a tare. I want to be one that's known as the wheat. I want to be one that's known as the sheep when my Lord and my Savior comes. And I want that for all my brethren. I want that for all my sisters. You know what I mean? So if there's something, and here's what the Lord says, but it's not over. It's not too late. We still have, there's still room for repentance, because yet today it's still here. You know, we still have the sun up shining up on our face. We still have breath in our lungs. We still have, you know, an opportunity to right our wrongs, to repent and turn from our wicked ways, to get to this And that's another thing that the Lord is really dealing with me about is repentance. And the best way I heard it put was repentance, because I always thought repentance means, oh, God, I'm sorry. Father, forgive me. But God says, no, turn from your wicked ways. And the way it was given to me is, listen, you spend your whole life building your dream house, the house that you always dreamed about. And he said, once you built this house, you move in and you live in this house, and you find out that this house is not suitable for you. You have to now move out of this house, tear down that old house, burn it, and then go somewhere else and rebuild another house. And that was the way that I was taught to picture repentance. And this is what Jesus was trying to give to Nicodemus. Listen, this old house, this house that you lived in is not clean. Because remember, Nicodemus was a religious leader. He was someone that taught the laws, you know what I mean? And he had an understanding of what, you know, righteousness was, or what godliness was. But when he met Jesus, just like, you know, same thing with me. When I met Jesus, and I thought I knew what Jesus was. I thought I knew what the story of Easter was. I thought I knew, but when I met Jesus for myself, I found out I didn't know nothing at all. And Nicodemus found out, oh, I don't know what I'm talking about, because what in the world do you mean by being born again? And this was a story of true repentance, like the life that you once lived. These are things that we should have done. This is a life that we should have lived before we got saved. But now that we claim to be children of God, we should no longer be living this way. You know, we shouldn't be doing these things. These are things that God says that he hates, that he calls abominations. You know what I mean? To sow discord among brethren, because what we're doing is we're keeping the body of Christ separated. I don't know, some of y'all, the generation that I grew up, there was a show that me and my brother, we watched all the time. It was called Voltron. You know, Voltron was a cartoon where there was, I can't remember how many it was, but six or seven different individuals. They would ride around in these cats, and they would go and fight, you know, fight the enemy. But separated, they were weak. But they would get together and form this big robot. You know, two of the cats would come the arms, two of them become the leg, and the rest become the body. But once they became together, they had power, you know, that they could defeat these enemies that they couldn't defeat on their own. You know what I mean? So, and this is how I picture us as the body of Christ, that we need to come together, you know, through encouragement, uplifting and strengthening one another, edifying one another, so we can walk in this power that God has given us, where we hear about, you know what I mean, what's going on in our society, what's going on in our country, what's going on in our world. And we have one brother over here that's praying about it, while we have another brother over here that's ignoring the fact that it's going on. Well, we should come together as a whole and pray against that spirit of suicide that's going on in our teenage. Well, we should be praying against the spirit of abortion or death. Well, we can pray against the spirit of deceit and falsehood. Well, we can come together and pray against these spirits. He says, Jesus says, listen, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Listen, he gave us a power. He said, actually, that was in Revelation. I was actually reading that right before, you know, he opened up the line. He says, I am here upon the resurrection. Let me hit this point and I'll be done. Upon the resurrection, Jesus, before the resurrection, Jesus is descended. And he took the power of the death and hell. He took the keys of death and hell. Here in Revelation, he said, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive evermore. And I have the keys of hell and of death. He took the keys of hell and of death. And he says, I'm placing it in your care. He's talking to us. I'm giving it to you. You know what I mean? We have the power over sin, over hell. God, Jesus has given this to us through the same spirit that Jesus. There was a song I wanted to know if we could get played, but I want to read the lyrics real quick.
And the name of the song is called Same Power, and it's written by or sung by Jeremy Capp. It says, this is the hook of it. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave be the same power that commands the dead to wake lives in us, lives in us. The same power that moves mountains when speaks be the same power that can calm a raging sea lives in us, lives in us.
So the same power that rose Jesus from the grave is the same power that lives in the heart of every born-again believer. That means the power over sin and death. Tells me, and it should tell you, that it is possible for us to be perfect. It is possible for us to be perfect through Christ who strengthens us, okay? It's through Christ who strengthens us. So that means we don't have to gossip. That means we don't have to backbite. That doesn't mean that means we don't have to retaliate when someone wrongs us. We don't have to render evil for evil. That means we don't have to do the things that we once do. We have power over those things. That power that we can share with our fellow brethren, you know, that's in need. And this same Jesus that we claim who rose again, he promised us that he will return back. He promised us that there will be a day when he will come back. And right now, I just want to say, anyway, the church, we got some cleaning up to do, you know, because he said he's coming back for a church that's without spot, blemish, or wrinkle. And it starts with me, and it starts with you. We don't want our unfaithfulness to cause us to be left standing at the altar alone. I love you all, and I thank Jesus for you all, and I believe in you all, and I encourage you all. You know, let's get to that place that he has called us to be at, you know, where we're perfect, where we're whole, where we're without spot, where we're without wrinkle, where we're the church that he's called us to be, and do away with the things that are not of God. I beg you to look within yourself. If that's you, you know, you have an obligation to go to your brother. You have an obligation to go to your sister and tell them that I've wronged you. I've said things that I shouldn't have said. I've done things that I shouldn't have done. I've thought things that I shouldn't have thought. Please forgive me. And I can tell you that from experience, the bond that it brings to between you, you know, I've seen it firsthand. I've had to live it. You know, I'm not just speaking this. I've had to live it where I've gossiped and said things about my brothers and sisters behind their back, and I had to go back and tell them, please forgive me. I shouldn't have said this. I shouldn't have done this. You know, I shouldn't have had this thought, you know. And I can tell you that the bond and the encouragement that it gives to this brother and to these sisters. And I'm done.
Amen. Amen. God bless you for letting the Lord speak through you on today, man of God. We appreciate your obedience to the Spirit of the Lord and your willingness to share. And I'm not going to say a lot. I'm just going to end in prayer. But before that, I'm going to add a little bit to that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We thank you for your word, Lord God. We thank you for your word of encouragement and even your word of warning. And I pray that you would cause the ears within our hearts to rise and hear what you're really speaking to us, Father, because you are coming back for a people that are holy. Holiness is not a denomination. Holiness is not our self-assumed position of righteousness or legalism. Holiness is God's way. According to the scriptures, hallelujah, it is God's way, holiness. And it's not about being mean and nasty and comparing others to self. It's about comparing self to Christ and finding out where we are spotted, where we are wrinkled, where we are blemished, where we are lacking. Hallelujah. And the word is going to show each and every one of us who we are, where we are, and where we must come up if we're going to answer the high call. Hallelujah. Jesus said in John chapter 13, verse 35, he said, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." If is a powerful word. If ye have love one to another. He didn't say how much we feed the poor. He didn't say how much we build a platform. He didn't say how many people we can gather and bring into the church and call it soul winning. He said, if you love one another, that's what's going to be proof that you're following me. By this shall all men know. So this is the measuring stick that Christ says we are being measured by. That ye are my disciples if ye have love one to another. When the Lord first began to speak to me about ministering his word, he didn't tell me, go ye into all the world. I know that's what it says in Matthew 28, but that ain't what he said to me. He said, tell my people. He said, speak to my people. He didn't send me to the world. He said, my people. Why? Because sometimes it's us that need the word. They say you're preaching to the choir. Well, I found out, don't you know, people, the devil was the leader of the choir in heaven. So we say that's what we preach in our churches. So all the hell starts in the choir. Yeah, the choir needs preaching too. This word was for us. The very beginning, he said, the watchman among my people. God raises up watchmen among his people. It is love that God warns us. It's always love, because whom God loves, he corrects. And so this word was definitely on time, and it is edifying. It was building us up to know that you can be what God said you can be. It's not too hard. It's not a list of do's and don'ts. It's just know Jesus. If you know Jesus, you're going to love right. And it goes deep, deep, deep within the heart. How we love Jesus is determined by how we treat one another. So it starts with me. I have to make sure I'm not gossiping. I'm not hating. I'm not throwing shade. I'm not laughing at the calamity of my brother or sister. This is one of the things that I believe the Lord is hitting on, that a lot of times we feel like, well, I didn't do nothing to him. But if we take pleasure in seeing someone else's calamity, then we are guilty of sin. The Bible says that he that is glad at calamities shall not be unpunished. We cannot take pleasure in watching someone else be judged or you know, beaten by, or, you know, come into a bad situation. We have to still have a heart that said, Lord, help them, God. Lord, help them see that what they did was what caused this. Help them see that they can, there's a more excellent way. Lord, forgive them. There have been times God say, do not pray for them because I got to judge it. And if you pray for them, then you're blocking my hand. And even in that, my heart says, but God, come on, Lord. You're always trying to find a way to relieve people from the angry side of God, because if you've ever been on that side, you know how real it is. See, people that say God doesn't have an angry side, they don't know the reality of God, or they've just been good all their life, and that's good. It's good for them. But I've been the one that, as my brother said, I've been the one that was on the other side. I've been the one, you know, after being saved, did some foolishness and have God come down on me and had to ask for mercy, and thank God he gave mercy. And his mercy is available to everyone listening right now. But as the man of God brought forth, he said, this is now a time of repentance. Not a time to preach it hard at you to repent, but a time for me to take my heart in the chambers, in the prayer chambers, and say, God, show me what's in me. And each one of us got to do that. If we're wise, we're going to do that, because at the end of the day, he's coming back for one church, one people, and we all got to wear the same garments. That's called holiness. Hallelujah. He's looking for a people. And watch this. The man of God kept saying power. He kept talking about power. A thing that diminishes power is bad connections. When you have power, when you have a bad connection in your power cables, then it shuts off the flow. So we have to make sure that there's nothing in us or nothing that in any of us that's going to stop the flow of power from Jesus getting the glory, because he's going to hold us accountable wherever the breach is. So we have to make sure, I've got to look in the mirror and say, Lord, make sure I'm not a breach. Am I causing offense? Am I causing error? Am I causing a breach to where the power is not flowing because I'm not connected right, or I'm on the wrong side, or I'm in the wrong position? I have to begin to take self into the prayer closet and ask God. And I pray that each of us have the heart to do the same, and that we don't look at our brother. It's me, oh Lord, that's in the need of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your word of correction. Thank you for your word of rebuke. I thank you for your word of edification. Lord God, I thank you for your word of chastisement, and even your word of, Lord, of encouragement and exhortation. Lord God, you are good. Your mercies endure forever, Lord. And you love us so deeply, Lord God, and you don't want any of us to be lost, Lord God. You don't want any of us to be left standing at the altar, hallelujah, or knocking on the door and can't get in. No, God, but you call us into a personal relationship with you. And how can we say that we love you if we don't love what you love? How can we say that we do love you if we see our brothers in need and we don't reach out to help, or we see them hurting and we take pleasure in it? It is not your will, Father. So, Father, purify every heart on today. Lord, I thank you for covering us, covering your children, oh God. And, Lord, we pray right now that you would put a hedge of protection around each one, Lord God, and that you would keep us from evil, Lord God. You know the plots and the plans and the evil things the enemy wants to bring forth in this country, Lord God, but things are being blocked because of the prayers of the righteous. Lord, continue to raise up more intercessors that will pray righteously and avail much. You said in your word, the fervent, effectual prayers of the righteous availeth much. Lord God, so we ask that you will continue to stir up prayer in their bellies, Lord God, and cause us to pray against the things that the enemy's agenda is, and to release the things that is the kingdom agenda of God, that we would bind and loose, and you would be pleased, Lord God. And Father, I pray that right now you would cause us to hear in the spirit what to pray. We cannot just go before you assuming we're praying your will. You said we know that you hear us when we ask anything, if it be according to your will. Give us to know your will. We must pray your will. Teach us how to pray in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, Lord, I thank you and I praise you for the Holy Ghost. I thank you for the tongues that have come to us in the midnight hour, and that will shake us, Lord God, and speak out of us, Lord God, and that we will pray the perfect prayer. And that perfect prayer will perfect us in your word. These things I pray in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Bring every mind subject to your truth, Lord God, right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, yes and amen. To Christ be all glory and praise forever.
I am a Christian. Do you know what that means? That means I'm far from perfect, simply redeemed, bought with a purpose. Not a form of religion, but a gift from above. I am not perfect, no, but I have been redeemed. I am a believer. Truly, he will heal our land, and we will wear.